Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We won't be silenced. Not today, not ever. That's my promise to you. Websites to find the truth include HagmanReportLive.com, their video audio, HagmanReport.com. Watch that carefully, especially in the next couple of weeks, and HagmanStore.com. Do me a favor and, hey, get some gourmet coffee from HagmanStore.com. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to my first guest because he's got a lot to say. And the only thing I'm going to say before bringing him on is this. For the next 2 weeks, I will be giving updates from the field or from my office. If I can do it once a day, I will. With respect to what we are doing, we're running a kinetic in the field operation. And some other things where our focus is Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all the groups that fund them upstream and downstream. Enough of that. We will have a Patreon meeting as scheduled for Patreon members on the first Sunday at 7 p.m. All right. My guest, Peter Barry Chowka. It's been a long time. There's a lot of information to get into. All right, we're going to wait while he adjusts his cameras. Let me know. Just give me a heads up. I want to thank each and every one of you for the support, for your support, because without your support, we would not be able to do what we do best. That is field work, investigations, surveillance, infiltration, and reporting back to you as we can. All right, so while we're waiting for Peter Barry Chowka, by the way, he was on the BBC. If you missed it, I'm going to tell you, he did a great job. He always does a great job. Peter Barry Chowka on the BBC. A link to that will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. We still figured it out? All right, he's frozen up right now. It's funny how that happens sometimes. Just look at yesterday. All right, Wisconsin Christian News. Folks, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News. It's my go-to paper. I'm telling you right now, this is more important today than it's ever been. The digital and hard copy subscription, that's what you need to go to. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com and get your hard copy as well as digital subscription to this newspaper. You will not regret it. In fact, buy a gift subscription for someone else, for your pastor, for whoever. And while you're there, donate, because the cost of subscription barely covers the maintenance of the website as well as the print of this paper and delivery of this paper. All right. I'll just wait until you yip in my ear, because as soon as you say he's ready, then we're going to go right to him, because it's that important. If you haven't been watching what's been going on, I'm telling you right now, what I saw overnight in Portland is, day 55, 54 of the riots in Portland, it's just incredible. It's just incredible. The baseball starting infiltrated. Eric the Tech knows a lot about that. He's busy with right now trying to get Peter Barry Chowka poked
up. BLM all over it.
Okay.
All over it.
Why?
Players warm up T-shirts, ceremonies.
About the lie. I talked to Brandon House early this morning. Brandon House, of course, I'm telling you right now, he's got his finger on the pulse of a lot of what's going on. I'm not going to say anything. Just, when I come back, Brandon House is coming on. He's got some powerful, explosive information. All right, Peter's ready. Let's go right to him. Peter Barryczalka, welcome. Good to have you back. Let's rock.
Hi, Doug. It's great to see you. And it's been 7.5 weeks, 7.5 long weeks since we were last together on June 2nd. And it's simply incredible and unbelievable what's happened since then. On June 2nd, it looked like we were turning the page, turning the corner on COVID-19. The country was gradually opening up again. Things were looking up. The economy was looking up. And look where we are today. So for the next hour, I'd like to report on what I've been reporting on for the last several weeks, and actually for this week in particular, starting on Sunday, I wrote 4 articles for American Thinker. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. It's an unusually prolific amount of writing for me. And 3 of them were about what happened to Michelle Malkin at her pro-police rally that she was supposed to speak at in Denver last week. And actually, you mentioned Portland. On Sunday, this past Sunday, that's 5 days ago now, my first article in this series for American Thinker was about what's been happening in Portland, the almost 2 months now of nightly riots, insurrection. And so we'll have a chance to talk about that. But actually, regarding Portland, I'd like to start by going back 2 years, exactly this time 2 years ago, the summer of 2018. And as you recall, I was reporting then weekly, sometimes twice weekly, on the Hagman Report, and also for American Thinker, and also for the Epoch Times. And my subject then was what was happening starting in Portland, Oregon. And what happened was the a ragtag group of radicals, deadbeats, bums, feral creatures, Marxists, communists, Antifa, Democrats, Socialists of America, they encamped beside the ICE building, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement building in Portland, Oregon, and they shut it down violently at times. And this went on for a month or more until the feds finally closed it down. The mayor, who is still the mayor now in Portland, ordered the Portland police not to do anything, even though this was a mini insurrection. It was the beginning. It was kind of the flashpoint of what would be coming. So, and some of the things I discovered then and that I reported on were simply mind-boggling. These radicals were calling at the time, 2 years ago, for no borders, for no police, and for opening the prisons and letting everyone out. Now, of course, this seemed absolutely ridiculous at the time, even though the Occupy ICE movement, so-called, spread to other leftist Democrat-controlled cities around the country before it ended later in the summer of 2018. But look at what we've got today now. Calls to defund or end the police. Already tens of thousands of prisoners have been let out, supposedly because of the COVID-19 crisis. And God forbid, if Joe Biden is elected, we will have full open borders as well as the legalization of however many illegals are here. And, of course, that number could be in the range of 40 million and not the 11 million that we are told. So it's amazing how that started, but it did, and here we are today, and all I can say is God help us.
Indeed, and you were first to report on what's going on in Portland, as I, at least in my universe back in 2018, the very agenda that they had then is what they have now, on steroids. And I really appreciate everything that you wrote and that you stated and that you reported. And I thank you for that, because you gave people who were paying attention, you gave them a dramatic heads up. And I thank you. But it's out of control. Portland's out of control. This whole thing is out of control. And I know that I'm tired of it. And, you know, so continue, sir.
Well, let me just add this on a personal note, because, you know, every one of the broadcasts I've done on the Hagmann Report since 2017, there have been about 145 or 150 of them. And I prepared for every single one, research, talking points, notes, outlines. And I almost feel like this has been the hardest one. And my heart is not only very heavy at this point, but because 7 weeks have gone by since the last one and so much has happened, it's hard to know where to begin, that our world is completely upside down. And I don't know about you, Doug, but I have this feeling, like many of the people I correspond with, of absolute dread of what's ahead. Now, I continue not to predict what I think specifically the future is going to bring in the coming months, the rest of this year. And I don't think anybody could have predicted even a few months ago where we'd be right now. But I can report on what's been happening, and that's what I'm going to try to do. By the way, before I continue, I just want to mention this as well, because I continue to get correspondence, emails, and Twitter messages from people who originally followed me in my frequent appearances on the Hagmann Report. Because I haven't been here in a while, they say, Peter, where are you? Are you still writing? Are you still broadcasting? What are you doing? And, of course, I diligently answer all of these emails. But for anyone who might wonder, yes, I'm very much on the case. And I use my Twitter account as kind of a table of contents of what I continue to do, writing, broadcasting, appearances, et cetera. And the easiest way to find that, you can go to Twitter. The address is pchowka, P-C-H-O-W-K-A. But even easier is my one-page website, which is peter.media. And you don't even need the HTTP thing anymore, just peter.media. There it is on the screen, P-E-T-E-R.media, for those who are listening. And that has my Twitter address. It has a link to my bio. It has a link to my entire archive of articles at American Thinker going back to 2007, which number about 250 articles now. And it also has a link to the half dozen articles I did at the Epoch Times in 2018, which I would really recommend. And they can also be, all of this can be read for free. It's all free access. The Epoch Times ones from 2018, which are linked from peter.media, get into what was happening in Occupy ICE Portland 2 years ago and how that morphed into a political prescription, a political platform of full-blown Marxism, which has now been completely adopted by the Democrat Party. And, you know, it had to begin somewhere. I mean, of course, it didn't begin in 2018. It began long before that. But this was, 2018 was the shot across the bow that put this on the national landscape, Occupy, just like the original Occupy Wall Street in 2011 came out of nowhere in the fall of 2011 and established the meme of the 1% versus the 99%. And that really stuck. That really had a tremendous influence on the consciousness of this country and of the world. The 1% versus the 99%. And guess who was running for president the next year? Of course, Mitt Romney, who epitomized the 1%. So the timing was very interesting on that level. But, you know, here again we have Occupy. And I guess you could say that the insurrection, the full-blown insurrection we have now in these cities around the country, like Minneapolis, where more than a half a billion, with a B, dollars have gone down the drain because of the damage, the looting, the burning, the destruction of several thousand businesses there. I mean, I don't think Minneapolis is ever going to recover, obviously. What's been going on in Portland, which has been completely covered up by the mainstream media. It just is shocking to see. Last night I happened to watch ABC News Nightline, which comes on after that horrible Jimmy Kimmel show, and I rarely anymore can tolerate any of the mainstream electronic media. I mean, it is so beyond the pale and so sickening that it's just unbelievable, as what this program was, which was about the Portland insurrection, which, of course, ABC presented as a grassroots peace movement with the Portland moms who are just trying to seek racial justice. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So in my article on Sunday, this past Sunday at American Thinker, which I recommend, I got into that. And now just a bit about what I discovered later on Sunday. One of my sources tipped me on Sunday early evening to what had happened a few hours before in Denver, Colorado. At 3 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time in Denver, there was scheduled to be a pro-police event. It wasn't a march. It wasn't a rally. It was an annual police appreciation day, the sixth annual in Denver, Colorado. And a retired police would be attending and maybe some current police not in uniform. And a lot of members of the public, it was advertised as having food, music, speakers. Well, this was advertised on social media, and guess who took note of it? The rats who comprise the Marxist left in this country, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and various other ragtag socialist, communist, radical, violent groups that descended on this event. And before it even went forward for a couple of minutes, in fact, after the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer, the Antifa mobs, which outnumbered the participants in the appreciation rally, attacked the speakers and roughed up Michelle Malkin. She was scheduled to be one of the speakers. Now, she was trying to make her way to the microphone. She was accosted by these radicals, and two of the speakers had their heads split open by skateboards. These black-clad, mask-wearing, degenerate, violent domestic terrorists attacked two of the speakers. And meanwhile, the outrage, in addition to this, is that the Denver Police Department, which was lurking around, took absolutely no action to protect the legal event. They had a legal, the organizers of this appreciation event had, yes, there's one of the victims who, I'm not sure my mouse has stopped working here, so hopefully you've got his head in the frame there, which is bloody. But there's another picture I had, too, on my Twitter, I think, if you can possibly check that out, Eric, showing another victim who really had his head split open and bleeding. And Michelle Malkin had to be rushed off with some security that was not police, but part of the event, volunteer security.
There's
one of the other victims, one of the speakers, I think, who had his head bashed open by one of these animals wielding a skateboard. And so I wound up writing three articles about this for American Thinker because Michelle Malkin had live streamed the whole thing, 36 minutes worth on Periscope, and that was frightening to watch. She's heard saying to the people accosting her, you know, get your hands off me, don't touch me. And it turns out that she was not physically brutalized, but she was psychologically and emotionally brutalized. And in fact, yesterday at her Twitter, she announced that, or she said that for the past 25 years, as a leading activist and author and a leading conservative thought leader, the past 25 years she has appeared in person at numerous rallies, events, and college campuses. Well, clearly she can't appear at college campuses anymore because that's off limits to conservatives. You take your life in your hands if you go there as a conservative. But she also announced, she said, please don't invite me to any more speaking events because I'm not going to be doing it. I'm taking a break from now on. So they have silenced Michelle Malkin in terms of personal appearances. The First Amendment has been destroyed there. Fortunately, she will still be able to write. And I linked to a brilliant article that she wrote a mere 2 days after this horrific event, which is just a brilliant article and just reminded me again of what a national treasure Michelle Malkin was. And by the way, she's a person of color. Her parents are from the Philippines. She was born here legally. Her parents came here legally in the late 60s. She was born in 1970. And she describes herself on her Twitter as a small brown woman. But of course, that doesn't count. If you're a conservative, you are fair game in the society now.
She's a darling lady. I've had the pleasure of meeting her and spending a little bit of time with her in Washington, D.C. So she's just such a very precious asset to our country. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. And, you know, this event and this picture on the screen now, that's a screen grab from her Periscope video, which her cell phone was being held by someone else at that point. And this is like seconds before she was manhandled and while she was being threatened. You know, here she said that 1 foot away from her, standing one foot away from her, another of the conservative participants in this pro-police rally was being beaten. So, of course, she thought she was next, and thank God she wasn't in terms of having her head split open. But look at the result now. I mean, she is understandably terrified of showing her face in public anymore because the bottom line here and everywhere or most places in the country now, especially that are controlled by Democrats, is that the police will not protect you.
Peter, now, this is an appreciation for the police event. My question to you is, where were they and why didn't they protect her and why were no arrests made?
It came out several days later from a top police official that a stand-down order was given to the Denver police by the political powers that be, probably the mayor. So that's a case. In fact, Michelle Malkin has filed the equivalent of a Freedom of Information request in Colorado for all of the communications that the police had in the context of that event, which she is legally entitled to, and they're supposed to deliver them in 3 days. We'll see if they do, but that a smoking gun could be lying in there. But, you know, another outrage is that this story was not covered at all in the national media until two nights ago, Tucker Carlson did a 4.5-minute report on his program. I mean, he's the best thing left on Fox News now. But he covered it by interviewing one of the other participants in this rally or this appreciation police event. The other participant he interviewed happened to be the Republican minority leader of the Colorado legislature. So this guy was also prevented from speaking. He has a high official position in Colorado, and he couldn't even speak. And he was lucky he was not physically brutalized. Now, where were the police? The police were lurking. They were there because after the rally, after the conservatives were chased away, the feral Marxist degenerate terrorists tried to cause further mayhem there. So the police had to use very lightly some crowd control procedures. And by the way, the local coverage of this, meanwhile, there's no national coverage. Okay. I mean, I had the lead of it on American Thinker. And let me just mention this because it's really mind boggling. My article on Monday on this topic that dropped got over 500,000 page views at American Thinker. And according to Thomas Lifson, the founder, publisher, and editor, he hasn't done all the stats yet, but he said this article about Michelle Malkin and what happened to her at American Thinker on Monday may be the most read article in the 17-year history of American Thinker in one day. In other words, the number of page views it got in one day were just astronomical and unprecedented. There it is. Michelle Malkin beaten by BLM thugs and prevented from speaking at Denver pro-police rally. Now, of course, the headline beaten, she was roughed up. She was manhandled. She was driven out of there. She lost her shoe. She was afraid for her life, justifiably. And her video includes her piling into a car and escaping. I'm not sure if she knew the people who were driving her out of there, but it was horrifying to watch this. Now, the term beaten might not be 100% accurate, but in the ensuing 2 days, as I followed up, and I described the first article as the first draft of history, and I made my best effort in the next 2 days to really tell the story completely accurately as more details came out. But in any case, it was horrifying, and to me, it really is an emblematic moment in this. Sometimes an event like this just seizes your attention if you have the opportunity, as I did, to really get into it and to spend 3 or 4 days there just, you know, covering this event, which actually speaks to this larger issue here. You know, I have been very busy in the last, this entire calendar year. And in addition to writing, of course, I've done talk shows every 4 or 5 weeks on John B. Wells's terrestrial radio show. I was a regular on the Barry Farber show with a weekly spot there until Barry passed away on May 6th and the show ended. And I've also been invited to provide reporting and analysis, political reporting and analysis on the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, which is the largest broadcaster in the world. And I'm so kind of amazed that that even happened and that they keep inviting me back an average of every 2 weeks or so. I did my most recent TV appearance was 2 weeks ago this evening on BBC World News, which airs live in the UK and around the world. And there are at least 1 million viewers in the UK to that morning show. And I got emails and Twitter messages from as far away from as Malaysia, people watching it live there. And it's interesting because the BBC has me on not to give conservative analysis or ideological spin, but rather reporting. They say they describe me as a political journalist, and the host asks me questions, sometimes provocatively. But the last one, and actually if we have time, I'd like to play the clip because it's only 3 minutes long, and it's very interesting to see how they do it and how I get to play reporter, obviously telling it like I think it is, in this case defending Roger Stone and what President Trump did earlier or the day before, actually, to commute his sentence. And, of course, the BBC is very much left of center, but they always thank me and, you know, congratulate me for my appearances, and they keep inviting me back. In fact, they invited me yesterday to be on a BBC radio news show to talk about COVID, but I had a scheduling conflict, so I had to politely decline that, but it's really incredible. It's a huge mainstream audience, and you know, I really appreciate it because I get to play reporter, and I'm trained as a reporter. You know, when I can come on here for an hour, obviously I can let my hair down, and we can really tell it like it is, and hope that we're not suppressed or banned from various platforms. But, you know, I don't feel like, I mean, they never edit anything I do because it's all live, and they always send me a recording of it, and sometimes it winds up on the internet as well. In this case, it wasn't, but I put it on my own little YouTube site. But, you know, I've had a lot of experience in the past. In fact, looking back at what I did for 3 or 4 decades, as I've talked about here before, is reporting on alternative medicine and the politics of healthcare and also the danger of socialized medicine. And in March of this year, actually March 21st, so over 4 months ago now, shortly after the country was locked down, I was one of the first, it must be said, to write a very critical article about Dr. Anthony Fauci. And it described him as a Hillary Clinton-loving stooge, a deep state Hillary Clinton-loving stooge. And as I mentioned here on June 2nd, that article also went through the roof in terms of page views. But a lot of the people paying attention to it were the bad guys, the extreme left. And I was taken to task in 4 articles in the Washington Post by name with links, 2 articles in the New York Times, an article in Vanity Fair, New York Magazine, BuzzFeed, a Clarence Page, the Chicago Tribune syndicated columnist took me on. So this resulted in my getting thousands of hate messages. And it was like really being in the eye of the storm there for a while. And, of course, it fades out quickly because the news cycle, you know, is very, very brief. But when it's intense like that, you really have to wonder if you need to literally go underground to protect yourself. But the reason I had the goods on Anthony Fauci was that I've been reporting on that person since the 1980s, because I did a lot of reporting starting in 1985 on the then new war on HIV/AIDS, which Fauci, as the head of the National Institute of Infectious Diseases, he was the head, the czar of the war on AIDS, which he still is, by the way. The war on AIDS is still ongoing. And my bone to pick with him was very detailed, because he led a cadre of fellow deep state, permanent medical war generals in ratcheting up this politically correct war on AIDS, so that despite a small, relatively small incidence in terms of people who actually got AIDS and who died from it, the war on AIDS under Fauci's direction came to actually eclipse the amounts of federal research funding spent on other diseases for which the cause is not known, that kill up to 100 times as many Americans. And I consider that an absolute national scandal, which I have never seen reported in any media other than in my articles starting in the late 80s, the 1990s, the 2000s, and on March 21st, and a few days or weeks afterwards, as I did follow-up articles at American Thinker on Fauci and what he and his medical war generals have done. And isn't it interesting? I mean, I've had this background reporting on the politics of medicine. And part of that reporting was to say that the medical industrial complex is a major threat to our health. I mean, the writer Ivan Illich said that in his book Medical Nemesis in 1976. He said the medical establishment is the major threat to our health. And that's kind of the subtext of hundreds of articles that I wrote on conventional medicine and promising natural alternative therapeutics. It is that the medical monopoly is a major threat. Now, look what's happened now this year. This is the worst of all worlds. This medical industrial complex, which is the biggest business in the United States, now costing over $4 trillion a year. It eclipses everything else. It's like 5 or 6 times as big as the military, for example. This has now come together with the political deep state establishment to give us this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic panic psyop. So both of these things have come together now, finally, in this horrible dystopian Orwellian nightmare, the medical industrial complex joining forces with the deep state, the Democrat Party, the permanent administrative state at the National Institutes of Health, in the medical establishment, which has been, of course, completely brainwashed and turned into another Marxist arm, because in recent years, in recent decades, medical education, like every other professional education or education on anything, has been twisted and taught by socialists and Marxists and social justice warriors. So, I mean, as recently as 20 years or so ago, the American Medical Association and most physicians in the United States were very much free market capitalists. They were opposed to socialized medicine. They were the last bulwark of a professional group to say no to single-payer communist socialized medicine. Well, that's all different now. The American Medical Association a decade or so ago came out in favor of Obamacare and now of single-payer socialized medicine. And I think it's about 40% of physicians in this country now weren't even born in the United States. They're being imported from countries like India, the Philippines, China, God knows where. So, of course, they have no interest in or very little interest in free market capitalism. So they're already, there's almost half of the doctors in this country now from outside of this country, and that is getting worse at the time now. Have you noticed when during this COVID-19 pandemic panic psyop, as the mainstream media interviews a lot of so-called leading physicians and poobahs who will weigh in on what we should be doing to continue the lockdown, it seems like a very large number of these people are speaking heavily accented English, and they clearly were not born in this country. And I'm going, what's going on here? Who are these people who came from God knows where to tell us that we need to lock down our country when they are lying about everything? They're lying about the data. They're lying about the reality of what's going on with COVID-19. And of course, it's all being used as a target to continue the destruction of Donald Trump so that he will not be reelected in November.
Well, Peter, hey, Fauci threw out the first pitch in Major League Baseball. So, hey, you know, it makes it all worth it. There he is.
That has to be the single worst pitch thrown out by anyone that I've ever seen in the history of a celebrity throwing out a pitch. I mean, you had to feel sorry for the guy. I mean, didn't he have time to practice? And, you know, he claimed that he played ball when he was a youth in the Bronx or whatever, you know.
I'm glad he's wearing a mask on the pitcher's mound. It, you know, it completes the look. Go ahead.
You know, I have nothing against Fauci personally. I don't know the man. But, you know, I think President Trump made a very big error when he elevated Fauci early on and Dr. Birx. And, you know, I mean, we didn't have time to talk about their histories. I mean, they are so embedded in the transnational globalist pro-vaccine, pro-pharma Bill Gates matrix that it's not funny. So what do you expect? And, you know, maybe President Trump felt that, well, you know, you keep keep your enemies closer or whatever. You know, I forget what the exact statement is, but, you know, he obviously has problems with Fauci and is keeping him at arm's length now, but Fauci did him and the country a lot of harm, in my opinion. So, you know, and where this goes from here now, I mean,
we lost your audio, Peter. Peter, we lost your audio.
Oh?
There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
Is it okay?
Now it's okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. I didn't touch anything. No. Yeah, let me know immediately if that
sagging mic syndrome. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, where was I?
I don't know. I wasn't listening. I'm kidding.
I got, you know, my computer with the outline broke down, so I've got some paper notes here. So let me just... Let me jump to this. Oh, no, ahead. I wanted to say the election looks like it's going to be about President Trump, which is mind-boggling. In fact, this would be a good point. I want to play this, Eric, if you have this two-minute video that Fox News has been playing. Sean Hannity played this, I think, last night, and I managed to grab this off the Internet. It's a two-minute clip of kind of the best or the worst of Joe Biden, but it's only Fox News and Newsmax TV and One America News, which hardly anybody has, that will show this. And the rest of the media, like 95% of them, 99% of them, show Joe Biden looking like, you know, he knows what he's doing. But, you know, if you have this recording now, Eric, maybe you could roll that. It's, you know, here is the real Joe Biden going back not very far, I think, to about a year, but mostly from this year.
The scale of the loss is staggering. I don't know whose phone that is, but the scale of the loss is staggering. It's been 2 months since Congress gave him that money. You introduce me? Al?
Yes, sir.
Hey, good evening, Tampa. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing. My name is Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over if you'd like to see, help out.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330. We choose truth over facts. Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear words.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Donald Trump does pose an existential threat to this. It's not hypothetical.
Why in God's name should someone who's clipping coupons in the stock market make, in fact, pay a lower tax rate than someone who, in fact, is, like I said, a school teacher and a firefighter? I'm confused who I'm talking to here. But anyway, whoever it is, and I had a nurse at Walter Reed Hospital who would bend down and whisper in my ear.
Wow.
And go home and get me pillows. They would make sure they'd actually, probably nothing ever taught in, you can't do it in the COVID time, but they'd actually breathe in my nostrils to make me move.
Wearing a mask is now a political statement? This is more patriotic. Why do you wear the mask? So you don't make somebody else sick.
I want to ask.
Sick. What's with this guy?
Steve, that's our time.
Okay.
Okay, that's the real Joe Biden, of course. And if we can actually have debates between President Trump and Joe Biden, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
That's probably what they're trying to shut down is the debates.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't. They're looking for excuses. Like one op-ed columnist said that if I believe it was the New York Times suggested that if there's not a live fact checking. Of, quote, President Trump's lies, unquote, during each debate on the screen. In other words, a crawl correcting President Trump's alleged lies, then Biden should say, I'm not going to debate. So anything's possible. But it also should be remembered that Biden actually did okay in his debates against Sarah Palin in 08 and, who was Romney's running mate in 12? I don't even remember now. But, you know, if they pump him up, if they shoot him up or whatever, he can probably handle, especially since the questioners will in the debates will be favoring Joe Biden.
Peter, I just want to say real quick, yeah. To me, that's abuse of that's elder abuse, given the fact that, I mean, I watched my father-in-law go through stages of Alzheimer's, and so reminds me of early on. I mean, it does. So I feel
bad. And they're hiding him. He doesn't meet the press. He has been hiding in his basement. He makes a limited number of short in-person appearances to tiny crowds reading off of a teleprompter, and he can't even get that. In fact, he uses a teleprompter from his home when he does interviews. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But I want to make this point. You know, I think that COVID-19 pandemic panic psyop and the post-George Floyd Black Lives Matter insurrection are both part of the same psyop, basically. And that psyop is to take down President Trump. But they both rely on fear. Now, in terms of COVID-19, of course, the deep state medical professionals and the Democrats are saying, if you don't do what we say, you may die. So, of course, the public opinion polls reflect that people are afraid. They're afraid to have the schools open up in the fall, most people, supposedly. They're afraid of things opening up again because fear has been instilled in everyone. Probably the greatest fear of a pandemic in the history of modern times, certainly, and exacerbated by the internet of everything, cell phones, social media, all of which are controlled, of course. But fear is also at the heart of why white, mainstream majority Caucasian Americans have been brainwashed into buying into Black Lives Matter, which, of course, has Marxism at its roots. This began in the 60s when the civil rights movement instilled in Americans guilt initially for what was going on with black people being suppressed in the South under Jim Crow, under Democrat Jim Crow political administrations. And then following that was fear. Starting in 1964, 65, and basically every year, they called them the long hot summer, there would be riots in the black ghettos of many major American cities. Watts, Los Angeles, 1965. Nationwide in April 1968 in the wake of Martin Luther King's assassination. And well into the 70s. So that led to kind of this fear of the black leaders, the radical black leaders, telling white leaders, the power structure, as they used to call them, if you don't kowtow to our demands, we're going to burn it down. Burn, baby, burn. And so they got what they were demanding. They got affirmative action. They got quotas, busing, set-asides. And this is just the latest chapter of that now. Now that they've got white America, majority of them apparently brainwashed to think that this country is racist, to think even that President Trump is racist. I mean, there was a poll that a majority of Americans think Trump is a racist. And, you know, I don't discount all of the polls. I mean, there are hundreds of public opinion polls, and they can't all be wrong because politicians use these polls. They use the polls to determine what's going on in their races. And I mean, if the polls were always wrong, then corporations wouldn't use them. They rely on polling when they introduce new products. They rely on focus groups and polling. So you have to drill deeply down into the polls to really get a sense. Sometimes the raw data will run 40, 50, 60 pages, and that's where the meat of it is. And also it comports with what I'm seeing among people I knew, past acquaintances, former colleagues. I have about 300 people bookmarked on a Facebook account that I can lurk and see what they're up to. And about every 6 months or so, I will torture myself by going down a list of some of these folks and seeing what they're doing. And I'd say about 95% of them, of the people that I used to know and work with, who weren't radical Marxists then or anything, they have all drunk the Kool-Aid. They are all social justice warriors now, you know, proudly running up the flag of Black Lives Matter. And, you know, of course, we saw yesterday in one of the opening baseball games, Major League Baseball, every single player and coach on two teams, I believe it was the Yankees and maybe a Washington team, were taking the knee. The same thing is going to happen with the NFL, if that's it going, with the basketball. I mean, it's just the entire country has been upended by this propaganda matrix. And You know, I just don't know what to say. I feel like we've got our finger in the dike at this point. And, you know, the only question I ask people, I don't ask people who, I trust to predict what's going to happen in November, because, we can still have hope, and God only knows what's going to happen with the November elections. But as Coach Dave said, I think it was back in January on this program, Dave Daubenmeyer said, if the Democrats win the election in November, they're going to go crazy. And if the Republicans win in November, the Democrats are going to go crazy. And you can pretty much take that to the bank now. There was an article at Politico this morning that basically said 8 horrible things that can happen with the election. And that was basically one of them, that no matter who wins, we ain't seen nothing yet. So,
exactly.
You know,
exactly. Yeah.
So that's what I'm asking people is that, you know, worst case, God forbid the Democrats win the presidency. And well, that would be bad enough, of course, but because AOC will be in the cabinet, Elizabeth Warren will either be vice president, meaning real president, or I mean, whoever Biden picks will be a radical Marxist. But God forbid if they take the Senate and keep the House, you know, my question to people is, what can we expect then? I mean, is that time to leave the country, because it could be that bad fast? I mean, it's pretty much that bad now. We can't even travel. I mean, I need to travel for personal family business, and I can't.
Peter,
I can't.
Yeah, I know that. But I think, you know, yes, do we leave the country? This is my country. Okay, this is our country, your country, my country, the people who are watching the show. It's our country. We can win on the numbers. All people have to do is show up. We've got the numbers. These idiots don't. So I believe that we can win even if we lose. That's just my view. But we got to show up.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I, you know, I always appreciate hearing people with some degree of optimism left, because it's easy to get really discouraged, if not despondent. I mean, one reason I've been very active in writing for American Thinker and doing these BBC appearances and some of the other programs I've done is I've been, you know, when you set out to write an article, for example, for American Thinker, you tend to write an article about a specific event, something in the news that day or the day before. And it helps if it represents ideological red meat, as I call it, that the conservative audience will appreciate. And that article I mentioned that got about 500,000 page views, it got over 700 reader comments at American Thinker on Monday of this week. And I read every comment, and they are so amazing, many of them. Really thoughtful. You really get a sense of what people think when they read these really serious articles at American Thinker. And but you know, a lot of them are really not very optimistic. They're saying we've had these police appreciation events, and now can we count on the police? I mean, it's not many of the police per se, but they are being restrained by these Democrat monster politicians who run the police. I mean, in Portland, Oregon, the mayor is also the police commissioner. By the way, Eric, if you have a photograph of the individual I sent, who is the, let's see, what was her title now? Dear, she is a leading figure in Portland, Oregon, and she actually accused the police of setting fires to this federal building. I can't find her name in my notes here, but she is one of the either high elected or appointed officials in Portland, Oregon. She said on the record in an interview.
Joanne Hardesty?
Yes. She said in an interview at Marie Claire that the police in Portland are setting the fires to make it look like the peaceful demonstrators are doing that. I mean, this is a bald-faced lie on steroids. And there she is. I wanted people who are watching to see this is the kind of person who's calling the shots. Okay, by the way, here's a little interesting tidbit I picked up in a left-of-center article that was at Bloomberg. And it helped to understand how, you know, why there is, well, first of all, we're not getting the real story on the insurrection, the riots, the burning, the looting, the destruction, the graffiti. I mean, Portland, Oregon, I've looked at photographs there of what the city looks like now, and the downtown looks like hell. That's the only way to describe it. Not only is it unsafe, but there is disgusting, obscene graffiti everywhere, boarded up stores that haven't already been ransacked, etc. So anyway, at Bloomberg on July 15th, there was an article, Trump's party cannot survive in a multiracial democracy. This is actually a very interesting article. And just one quote from it. Americans today are far more racially diverse, less Christian, better educated, yeah, more urbanized, and less likely to be married. Of course, the writer thinks these are all great things. Continuing. In polls, they are more tolerant of interracial and same-sex relationships, more likely to acknowledge the existence of racial discrimination. And here, this is what I picked up. They are less concerned about crime. Less concerned about crime. Now, in the late 1960s, specifically 1968, a year when Richard Nixon used the law and order strategy to win election against Hubert Humphrey, who was part of the old regime, there was a large silent majority that put Nixon over the top, and it gave him a landslide victory, a law and order victory in 1972 against George McGovern. Now, as this person writes, and I think with some credibility, a lot more people today in the United States who live here, who vote legally or otherwise, are less concerned about crime. Why? Maybe because they have relatives who are criminals. Maybe because they came from a foreign country where, you know, it's still safer here than the, you know, feces whole country that they came from. So, you know, these are all things to be concerned about. And, you know, I haven't totally lost my sense of optimism. I, as I've said before, I think prayer is our number one antidote to this situation, praying like you never have before, like your life depended on it, because it absolutely does. And that would be my closing suggestion here. And once again, people who want to follow my work, peter.media is the website. I always appreciate followers on Twitter, at pchowka, P-C-H-O-W-K-A. And my email address, or one of them, is at the peter.media site. I always love hearing from people. This audience has always been very responsive when I've given out an email address, and I've made a lot of friends and important, valuable contacts through email from listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. So once again, I really would encourage people to reach out to me. And the only reason I do this is not to monetize it, but to find an audience that will read, listen to, or watch my reporting. And that's how you can access it, peter.media.
Peter, we appreciate you so very much. I would be remiss in taking the task if I didn't ask the question, how are Lulu and Biggie?
They're fine. Lulu is about to celebrate her 10th birthday next month. She has a very sensitive digestion, but she's doing okay. And Biggie is really in the prime of life. He's a few years younger than Lulu, and he is the healthiest looking cat. He keeps him. He's the cleanest cat. He spends about 2 hours a day grooming himself. He's really incredible. But they're both very special kitties. And hopefully, when I'm on next, they will be in the picture.
You have an open invitation, my friend. Thank you so very much for your insight and reporting. We appreciate it. And
when we get back
from our hiatus, we'd love to have you back on.
I'll look forward to it. And closing, God bless you, Doug, Eric, your families, and God bless everyone who's listening and watching.
God bless you. And it's realized this is a spiritual battle. I think you painted it very well. Thank you.
Thank
Peter.
You.
All right. Folks, we're going to be right back. Network break. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Going to be right back. Stay where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmannReportLive.com, video and audio assets, HagmannReport.com, show prep information, print things, and HagmannStore.com for coffee. Great coffee, I got to tell you. Man, get your gourmet coffee now, HagmannStore.com. And a mug if you'd like, or two or three, and a shirt. That helps fund the operation, of course. WisconsinChristianNews.com, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Go there and subscribe to the hard copy as well as the digital. And while you're there, also stop in and pop in a donation there as well. One more thing, Lightstream. I want to thank our sponsors, corporate sponsors, Lightstream. Folks, did you know that refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money? Well, you don't have to be a financial expert to do it either. Get a fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, and you can save thousands in interest. Rates start at 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, absolutely no fees. Application process. The application is 100% online, and you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. We have used it, my family, members of my family, my friends, and they have all thanked me. Here's what you need to do. My listeners can apply for a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagmann. I'm going to spell it for you. It's LightStream.com. That's lightstream.com/Hagmann, and two N's on Hagmann. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagmann for more information. As I said, you will thank me later. So in other words, I guess if you're sitting in a ballpark and your name is Tony Fauci, you don't need to wear a mask. And you don't need to social distance. Did you see that picture? The picture's floating around. Also, Chicago's lesbianic mayor, Lightfoot, removes the Statue of Columbus in the middle of the night. Did you see that? Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. You know why this is important? Days after, 19 Chicago police officers were hospitalized. They were defending that statue from marauders and people. This Lightfoot made the unilateral decision to remove it in the middle of the night. You coward, you Marxist menace. You coward, you Marxist menace. All right. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. If you haven't done so, please go there. Get your nutritional supplements from healthmasters.com. You need to use HealthMasters. Why? They have the best products on the planet, in my view, and in many others' view. Excellent C, excellent vitamin C, vitamin C with antioxidants, vitamin C powder. There, and look at all the products there, including your daily nutritional supplement, and that would be your Ultimate Multiple. If you're not taking Ultimate Multiple from Health Masters, you're really missing out. Go to healthmasters.com, coupon code HR5, and take advantage of the product of the week as well, potassium iodine, molecular.
That's a must.
Oh, absolutely. Read about it. Go to healthmasters.com. And by the way, when you're there, look over on the right-hand side and listen to some fantastic radio. An hour a day, Ted and Austin, father-son radio team. How great is that? So support Health Masters by way of their products. And, of course, there's a donate button there as well. Austin, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed as always. Great to be on the show again. A lot of stuff going on. Definitely have some news to share with you guys with different various topics. And so great to be on the show again. Thank you.
Thank you. And just I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the hour, new audience or different audience as well. Folks, we're going to be on hiatus for 2 weeks, beginning Monday, ending on the August 7th. We'll be back on August 7th. I just want to make sure people know that we are going to be doing some investigative field work. And that's all I'll say about that. So just want to remind people, but the Patreon meeting for the first Sunday in August will be done as normal. Okay, thank you, Austin, for allowing me to do that. So let's open this up to whatever you want to talk about first.
Well, one thing that I thought was pretty interesting, and I talked about it on our show yesterday, and I just found out today because I was just pulling the article again, it's been fully withdrawn off PubMed, which I found to be interesting. This is a research study that just got released and published on July 13th. Now, this goes into detail on 5G and what it does to skin cells and what it does to the body. Now, there's a lot of opinions, and people call it conspiracy theory with 5G towers. I've said this repeatedly, and I still stand by this wholeheartedly. I find it extremely coincidental that once this COVID situation started here in the U.S., while everybody was locked down in their homes, while everybody was told they couldn't go outside, while everybody basically was forced to hold the line and we're in this together and all the little phrases and analogies they told everybody to do, at that same time, 5G towers were going up all across the country at a pace more rapid than we had ever seen before, even with cell towers in history. Down here in Central Florida, we've had them pop up everywhere, and they're big, and they're high, and they're all over the place. I don't have any by my rural house yet, but a lot of the more areas like Orlando, Tampa, by I-4, they're popping up everywhere. And you can always tell the 5G towers because a lot of times they look similar to a cell phone tower, but they have these big, giant boxes on them that look like a refrigerator. Just want to let you guys know that. Now, before everybody turns the show off and they say, oh, Austin's on his conspiracy theory rant. No, this is not that. This is an article that actually got published on PubMed on July 16th, and it was a study shared on the National Institute of Health, and it found that 5G technology is absorbed by skin cells and can actually alter the DNA in a way that actually produces viruses within the human body. This is a very interesting read. I went through it yesterday on the show, and I'll get into it in a second. The study produced by scientists from Guillermo Macani University in Central Michigan and First Moscow State Medical University came to the conclusion that 5G millimeter waves stimulate DNA in a way that can cause cell nuclei to actually produce various forms of coronaviruses. And it was basically brought on by 8 different researchers and doctors, basically published on July 16th. And it said, and I quote it here, in this research, we show that 5G millimeter waves can be absorbed by the dermatologic cells acting like antennas, transferred to other cells and play the main role in producing coronaviruses and biological cells, the study states. Now, it's interesting is I published the PubMed article on the website. I put it up there, the link to it. And I went on there this morning to pull it up again. Luckily, I printed a big chunk of it out. I went on the website, PubMed, to pull it up again. I'm going to show you guys this. This is what it showed on here. You guys can see that. Withdrawn. 5G technology and induction of coronavirus in skin cells. Print article withdrawn by publisher. Withdrawn July 23rd. No author published. They made them pull down this entire article a week after it was published for whatever reason. I don't know yet. This just happened apparently either last night or today. And so I find it very interesting that you have eight renowned researchers with multiple universities involved in a research study that they conclude without a doubt 5G tower actually causes the body to produce viruses in and of itself. And it goes on, basically the scientific aspect of it is that the 5G is so overstimulating to the cell nuclei that the cell nuclei actually put out toxins in the form of coronaviruses to try to expel the level of toxicity they're being exposed to. Very interesting read. It was very interesting. What's interesting about this as well is I've heard numerous people talk about this over the last couple of months, but I'm like, you know what? It's odd. It's weird. The towers have been weird, but you know, I haven't seen any directly published research. This is it. And now a week after, not even a week after it's out, it's fully withdrawn off PubMed and I can't find it anywhere online now. And everybody that I researched who was involved in this research study was very renowned. This was not some bogus research study that somebody did in their basement. This was a very, very well-tested research study. And I find that interesting, Doug. Less than a week after this thing's published on PubMed, it's fully withdrawn now. And we've seen that happen numerous times now in the past when articles get released, when research gets released that does not go along with the narrative. And I've said this repeatedly. The 5G was based on a military weapon spec platform. That's originally how 5G came about. They can change the different frequency, the energy, and the strength of it depending where it is. And 5G is such short wavelength, you have to have the towers within basically eye distance. That's why if you notice the 5G towers, they're up very high. But if you get on one of those towers, you can see the next 5G tower and the next 5G tower and the next 5G tower. That's how they operate. And so it's strange to me, and I want to get that out there first thing today because whether you believe that or not, the research that I have seen over the years now definitely concludes. It may say, you know, this we're not sure about, that we're not sure about, but this definitely causes this. Regardless of what we have seen, 5G testing has not been thoroughly researched on humans to have this level of rollout to essentially put everybody in a giant microwave all around us 24/7, 365, and you essentially can't get away from them. So I want to kind of bring that up on the show and let people do some own research on that, do some looking in and digging and see what you really think about it, because they've shown that when you start disrupting the cells, you can cause a great amount of anxiety and unrest in a person or even animal. They've researched this years ago with certain frequencies. Ted's talked about it in detail. And we've noticed now, I'm sure you've seen it, I've seen it, people, even in my area, in a lot of cases, are extremely agitated right now. Just agitated. They're very uneasy. They go places. You see more road rage incidences. You see people running around. There's been more fights. There's been more homicides, even for a small town that we're in. And it's starting to get worse and worse and worse. And then you add in the political climate, all the negative news that's on the media every single day, and the list goes on. And then you start throwing in this 5G towers that have been put up literally almost overnight in a lot of areas because it was all for the greater internet, you know, transmission. So everybody had faster internet. My internet hasn't gotten any faster here. Still have issues with it. And there's still 5G towers popping up everywhere. I asked my buddy back in Orlando. They got 5G towers all around. And he's like, dude, nothing's changed. The internet's still the internet. It's not any faster than it normally is. And I said, that makes you obviously wonder the $2.5 trillion I think we've spent now globally in 5G buildup, and yet the internet's not any faster, but we have all these towers going all over the place. And then a research study addresses what these do to the body, and it's withdrawn in less than a week, man.
Do you have – can we put a call out to anyone going back to the PubMed article? Do you have the official title, or can you hold that up again?
I'll put it up again. I caught this literally right before I went on the show today. Let me hold it up a little bit better here so everybody can see it.
All right. The title is...
I can close it up here.
Okay. 5G technology and induction of coronavirus in skin cells. Okay. Folks, you heard that. You can see that on screen. If you can somehow find that in the archives anywhere, online anywhere, there's a lot of people who are a lot more intelligent than I am. Please post it in the comments section on YouTube for this video, or and or send a email to Health Masters as well as Hagman Studio at HagmanReport.com. Thank you. All right. Yeah, very interesting. All right. Austin, I wanted to tell you one thing while we're on the subject. Well, about the so-called coronavirus, Communist Chinese Party virus. I spoke to, on another matter, I had to speak with a funeral director this past week, and I wasn't going to say anything, but I'll say it now. This funeral director has documentation of death certificates that list, everyone is lists coronavirus as either the primary or contributing factor to the death in this county. All right, at least the papers, the certificates that this director received. So we're being lied to about the numbers. I just want to say that. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen now even some of the local mainstream news outlets have reported on this. Down here in Florida, we had people in accidents getting listed as COVID-19 deaths. We have people repeatedly now that have gone in for testing and put their information in and left after hours of waiting, and they get notified. And that's not just in Florida. I've heard about it in Texas. I've heard it in Tennessee. I've heard it in Florida. I've heard it in more northern states. This is happening repeatedly now. On top of that, we've seen that they're now claiming anybody that's a probable case is now a positive case. So if you come in and you have a sore throat to the doctor, you're automatically a COVID-19 positive. No test, nothing. You're also seeing the numbers we saw down here in Florida, the Fox 35 busted the hospital on a week and a half ago, where they were saying 100% of every person tested was positive. Like 300 plus labs were saying that. 100%, 100%. 100%. How do you physically have 100% positive rate? And we've been trying to figure that out. How in the world are these numbers coming up like this? Well, just throwing this out there, either you have contaminated swabs, because there's no way people are having this many issues with COVID, because I talked to everybody, and it's not that. Now, the only other aspect you have is if 5G is really causing the body to basically have this viral outbreak and people are then going and getting tested, they're showing positive, even though I've talked to literally dozens of people now that have tested positive, asymptomatic. And of course, the bobbleheads on TV go, oh, well, you could still spread it even if you're not, even if you just are asymptomatic. Here's the whole aspect with this. If the virus is so deadly and it's so horrific and it's so bad and everybody needs to stay in their home, and if they go outside, wear a mask and a hazmat suit because it's so dangerous, why in the world do you have to test to find out if you even have it? And then if you do have it, you don't even have any symptoms. That's obviously something people need to start asking. And now we're starting to see this push further and further and further for the mass restrictions on face masks. Everywhere you go, they're demanding. Now, like Publix, I saw on our show earlier today, they're great. One of our supermarkets down here in Central Florida, they're like, you have to wear a mask to come in the store. They have it on the sign. You go in there. I've asked one of the reps. I said, do I have to wear a mask? I have a medical condition. They're like, well, we're not making anybody wear a mask. If anybody chooses not to wear a mask, that's absolutely fine. They can still shop here. I said, that's good. I said, I appreciate that. Respecting. And that's the aspect of it. Now, if you're going to a nursing home and you really feel like you need to wear like a real true N95, and it may make a difference if you possibly could be spreading it to somebody and you're asymptomatic and you want to do that, whatever. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, but understand, don't wear a mask because you're scared of your life and you're afraid that everybody's going to catch COVID because you walk outside without a mask. Down in Broward County, talked about this at the beginning of the week, they put out a mandate now basically saying that anybody on their property has to wear a mask. So if you're in your front yard, you have to wear a mask now. And they're now putting together a task force down there in South Florida of basically health officers that are going to go around and cite people for not wearing masks. It's gotten so far out of hand. And then we're starting to see now, and I talked again about this the other day to another buddy of mine, the sheriff, and he said there's a possibility now we're starting to hear with Homeland Security and the facial recognition software, they're also doing this as a double-edged sword to the Patriots. They're seeing who's going to be submissive, but they're also seeing who's not going to be submissive, because Homeland Security put an article out a couple days ago that said the face masks are causing problems with facial recognition. Obviously, you're covering your face. Well, now everywhere you go, if you don't wear a mask because you feel like you don't need to wear a mask, they ping you with facial recognition. They do have your facial recognition because you're not wearing a mask. And they're starting to build a database. Now, I do not know. I cannot verify this. This is like third hand from what I was told from him. But it sounds very weird to me that they're pushing this. And a lot of people are pushing back. But at the same time now, they're going to know every single person that doesn't wear a mask. And I could care less. I'm probably already on a list. I'm sure you're probably on a list. I know Ted's on a list.
Yep.
So me trying to play the safe card now and pretend that, oh, I'm going to play the 3D chess and wear a mask now to capitulate so they won't know who I am. Dude, with the tag readers in the parking lots, with the cameras at every red light, with the red light cameras, with the cameras going in and out of stores, with them monitoring your cell phone, you can live in some fantasy and pretend that you're going to try to not be seen if you wear a mask now. You're living in delusional land. And what's interesting about this now, I saw an article come out. I'll pull this up here. This is happening in California. The technology solutions software company that produces artificial intelligence published a press release Wednesday morning revealing a major studio in Hollywood, California, that cannot disclose the name, though, due to an agreement, purchased two robotic observation security apparatus units known as ROSA. According to the company, ROSA is an AI-driven security system including both human and vehicle detection, license plate recognition, and complete integration with the RAD software suite notification and response library. Described as the ultimate autonomous response device. That's a strong statement, Doug. The ultimate autonomous response device. Response to what? Glad you asked. ROSA uses powerful AI software and sensors and a 180-degree field of view to enforce mask wearing. The director said this is a game changer for us. He said, and I quote, face mask enforcement in this environment is challenging. And the RID lineup allows reinforcement of critical regulations that are in place for everyone's safety. Well, this is for your safety. That's why aspartame and sucralose is still on the market, and that's why they can't ever figure out what happens to the 450 to 800,000 children that are abducted every year, according to the FBI. Because it's for your safety, of course. So the face mask is for your safety. But then they say, well, it's for the safety of others. Well, it's for the safety of others, but it's not for my safety, but it is for my safety, so I have to wear a mask. So you're going to arrest me for my safety to contradict themselves everywhere they go. And here's the part that really got me. This is why I quote from him and what the ROSA device does. The ROSA device has the ability to record violators, particularly repeat violators, giving high profile end users such as this one option for enforcement and general security, said Reinhardt. It's great to see the first order specifically for this technology come out within a very short period of time when it was announced. So they're now going to start putting tag recognition, face recognition, body recognition, face mask informant cameras that are 180 degree field of view all over the place now. This is just the first order because they just came out to basically start watching and monitoring everybody. Now, I don't know how they're planning on enforcing this. They have not said that yet, how they're possibly going to walk around and tag you, I'm assuming with facial recognition, put you in the database, you're going to pop up, and then they're going to put you on some type of list. What they're starting to say, and this is basically my speculation so far, but from what they're saying, I'm extrapolating, it appears, in my opinion, what they're going to do with these cameras is what I just said. When they get your facial shot for not wearing a mask, it's automatically going to be uploaded to whoever agency, probably Homeland Security or NSA or whatever database that they can collect to. They're going to run it through the system. They're obviously going to pull you up immediately because everybody's got a facial shot somewhere now. And they're going to say, okay, this is John Smith. He was collected on camera at 9:38 going into Publix without a mask. He's basically on notice. We're going to watch him. Oh, we have a second occurrence of Mr. Smith walking into Publix on another day without a mask. He has now been uploaded to law enforcement, and they're going to go to his house and do a wellness check to make sure he is okay because it's for his protection, and they need to check out and see why he's not wearing a mask, if he has a medical condition. And, of course, we're going to go there to help and talk to him the best we can. That appears to be what they're implying they're going to start doing with these cameras down in L.A. right now once they get them in the full mode. And you best believe these cameras, promise you, will not disappear once COVID mysteriously goes away. These cameras, I'm sure, will continue to be used and put in place for any other reason that they see fit. And as we see now, they're saying that COVID's mutating them. Now we have a bigger virus of it. You know, if you couldn't see this stuff through the smoke a couple months ago, I don't know what to tell you anymore. But they're going to keep this going as long as they can, because this charade has been very, very effective at controlling the populace. And again, as I said, if it's for everybody's protection and health, which they clearly say, why has nobody discussed numerous articles on vitamin C like I have? Why is nobody discussing the intravenous vitamin C that has been used almost 100% successful rate in doctors' offices and hospitals when they've been used? Why is nobody discussing the aspect that D3 levels need to be at a high, safe, healthy level in the bloodstream to maintain a healthy immune system? I haven't heard that at all. I haven't heard one single doctor say, we need to make sure we're checking everybody's D3 that comes in the hospital that's basically sick when we run blood work on them. Not once. That's numerous people who've gone to the hospital. Not once the doctor even ask or imply about D3 levels. Why? Because they're not trained to talk about that. They're trained to discuss treatment of coronavirus by putting them on a doggone ventilator. Half the time it's killing people. So again, I encourage everybody, do your research on vitamin C, D3, and especially iodine as well for the thyroid health, because it is crucial right now. We keep our immune systems as strong as physically possible and get the information out to other people. We have a customer I talked about on our show the other day. She's from out in the Midwest. I'm not going to put her name out here. She asked me not to put her out here again. And she had a very good friend, one of her best friends. Her husband was in the hospital, COVID positive, on a ventilator. She was basically told, listen, you need to start getting preparations done, you know, for funeral arrangements. He's not going to make it. Well, the customer of ours talked to her best friend and said, listen, I've been listening to the show. I've been following the research. You have to get him on intravenous vitamin C. He's on a respirator. He's on a ventilator. He cannot go and basically take oral vitamin C. So they talked to the doctors. It was a real small hospital. They went. They said, okay, listen, we'll give it a try. We'll give it a Hail Mary. You guys are claiming it'll work. You'll pay for it. They did vitamin C intravenous for 3 days. By the fourth day, he was able to check himself out of the hospital. It reversed the viral effects that fast from intravenous vitamin C 3 days in a row. Personally, talked to this lady on the phone at healthmasters.com. If it's for our health and safety, Doug, why is nobody in the mainstream media willing to talk about vitamin C and D3 and what's really going on? They simply tell everybody, put on a mask, shut up, recycle your own air, reduce your own oxygen, make your face break out. Don't worry about replacing the mask every 20 to 30 minutes like guidelines. Don't worry about wearing gloves when you handle the mask. Don't worry about not touching the mask or moving the mask at all. It was interesting. Yesterday, I had to go to the DMV, had to handle some title work for a vehicle. Wasn't very busy, which I was very happy. He's using DMV Slam. They told me, I'll go over to walk in. They said, oh, we ask you wear a mask. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't. And they said, well, we're really asking everybody wear a mask. I said, I have a medical condition. I cannot wear a mask. I have a doctor's note. Would you like to see it? I said, well, not really. I said, I'll pull it out. I started pulling it out. I said, no, that's fine. Just go in. Just please make sure you social distance. I said, well, I don't really want to be around a lot of people. And here's the DMV. I just want to get in, get the title taken care of, and leave. And so I went in there. And so I'm sitting there kind of at the back wall watching everything until they pull my number up. Luckily, I was blessed. I didn't have to wait very long, which is such a rarity for the DMV down here in Florida. And I watched as every single person in the entire building had a mask on. And so I started to observe the amount of people. So there was probably about 32 people, 33, 34 people is what my count kept going in and out. And I watched everybody wear a mask. Now, half the time, the people sitting there wore a mask, were pulling it down below their nose. Saw a good portion of people fidgeting, some people taking their mask off, putting it back on, other people constantly fixing their mask, some people basically sitting there taking a nap with their mask on. And I thought to myself, there's not any protocol whatsoever when you walk in this building when they tell you to wear a mask on how to handle your mask, proper hygiene and sanitation with the mask, how you need to use the mask if you're going to take the mask off, or let's give you multiple masks so if you have to sit in here for multiple hours, you can continue to change masks as you sit in here. None of that. The sheep mindlessly sat there and covered their faces like good little peasants and didn't even ask questions because that's what they were told to do. And so, as again, I tell everybody, if you feel like you need to wear a mask somewhere, if it's a high risk and you really think a little blue paper mask is going to protect you, then wear a mask. But if you don't, don't. But whatever the reason you do, make it your choice. This is the issue that I have with all this. We have a right. We have a consent You have a right over your body. If the liberal agendas are going to constantly push their rhetoric and spew my body, my right with abortion as they continue to spread their abortion agenda all across the country, which I don't agree with, but that's the rhetoric they spew, my body, my right, you can't tell me I don't have a right to abort my baby. And they've ruled in this now. In the Supreme Court, unfortunately. But here's the kicker. If that rule goes for them, the same rule goes for me. If I don't want to reduce my O2 levels and I don't want to breathe my recirculated air and I don't want to basically have any type of sanitation issues with taking a mask on and off all day and I want to breathe freely on my way, it's my body, my right. So it goes both ways, Doug, and that's what's so frustrating with a lot of this is these liberals want to push their agenda when it's positive for them, but then when you slap them back in the face with their own words, oh, it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good to recycle your own air, even though we've already shown. Actually, speaking of that, the CDC has an article on their own website, Volume 6, number 5, May 20th, right here on the CDC's own website. It's titled Non-Pharmaceutical Measures for Pandemic Influences in Non-Healthcare Settings, Personal Protective and Environmental Measures. What that basically means is non-pharmaceutical measures, non-drug measures, in a pandemic influenza, in a viral influenza like right now, and non-healthcare settings, meaning outside of hospitals. What's interesting, in the article right here, you can read through it, and I highlighted part of it right here. You can look at it on the CDC's website. It says, we did not find evidence that a surgical-type face mask, that's a little blue mask they give you everywhere, we did not find evidence that surgical-type face masks are effective in reducing laboratory-confirmed influenza transmission, either when worn by infected persons or by persons in the general community to reduce their susceptibility. However, as with hand hygiene, face masks could be able to reduce transmission of other infections. Other infections. Meaning, we have no idea, but in research studies, we found that it did not do anything in preventing the spread of viruses from people that were affected or not affected. Furthermore, evidence from random controlled studies of face masks did not support a substantial effect on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza, and limited evidence was available on other environmental measures. Meaning, this is a complete and total shot in the dark, if they even want to claim it that. This is a, hey, they may kind of partially do something at some point in time, maybe in a very specific situation, the mask may work. Okay, if they came out and said that, and they said, if you want to wear a mask, wear one. If you don't, don't. They may help in some situations, but it's too broad and it's too many variables. We have no idea. In the randomized controlled studies, we did not see any positive effect from a blue face mask from people that were infected or not infected from reducing the transmission spread of the virus. And I would say, okay, fair enough. If you want to wear one, wear one. If you don't, don't. But going around now and putting cameras up in California and saying they're violators for not wearing a mask and fining people $500 and refusing service to people. Last night I went out for dinner. A couple of my buddies, they're pretty much like I am. One of my buddies is an Army veteran, and he got to the restaurant before I did. I was on my way, and he tried to get in the restaurant, and the hostess said, you can't come in without a mask. He said, I have a health condition. I have a doctor's note. I basically have issues from when I was in the Army. I cannot wear a face mask. And she said, well, you can't come in. And he goes, well, I want to see a manager. And she goes, well, the manager's not here right now. And he goes, that's a lie. There's always a manager on the deck of the restaurant. She goes, sir, I'm not going to argue with this. If you don't wear a face mask, you cannot come in. You can take it off of the table, but you have to wear it when you come in. He goes, hold that thought. Sure enough, I pulled up. My buddy pulled up. We're in the parking lot. My buddy comes out of the restaurant all flushed, all mad. And I get out. I'm laughing at him. I've already dealt with this. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I can't. They won't let me in. Ball. He's ranting. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. I said, she's refusing to give me the manager. I said, we're going to call up Wheathouse right now. And we're going to get the manager on the phone because I know she's lying because they always have to have a manager and assistant manager at a restaurant. I used to work at a restaurant. We call them up out of the parking lot. Call them up and say, hey, I need to speak to the manager. Manager's on the phone. Name's John. Say, John, what's going on, man? He goes, hey. I said, we were just kicked out of your restaurant because we couldn't wear a mask due to a medical condition and broad violation of the American Disabilities Act. That is direct discrimination. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who said this? I said, hostess at the front. Her name was, I'm not going to give her name out, but that's what it was. And he goes, listen, really sorry about that. You guys come back in. I'll seat you. I'll comp you guys appetizers. You don't have to wear a mask. Come in right now. We walk in there, meets us at the door, walks us straight to a private table. We have great service, great waitress. Food was decent, and we went on our way. And the reason why I bring that up is if you're going into a very, very restricted area that was very variables as far as a lot of transmission, like I said, a nursing home, I would not be that adamant. I'd say, listen, you know, maybe, but I would wear an N95. I'd wear a real one. I'd say, maybe this helps a little bit. We'll do it out of respect to other people here that may be sick. But telling me when I walk in the front door that I have to wear a mask 15 feet to sit at the table and then I can take it off and nobody in the restaurant's wearing a mask while they're all sitting at random tables all over the place, but me wearing a mask as I walk in, to me, I see that as a massive form of submission to say, you're going to wear your mask, you're going to do what we tell you to do, and if you don't, we're going to deny you service. And the more people that capitulate to that, the more people are going to get pushed down this sheep trail into a giant hole that we will never get out of. So I just encourage everybody, try to make your stand on this. And I've only had to pull my letter out one time. That's it. So you can tell people you have a medical condition, and technically they can't even ask you to see your doctor's letter from what I've been told legally. I do it just as a basically ace in the hole. If they start pushing me, I say, here's my letter. But regardless, you just tell me, no, I have a medical condition. I do not want to disclose my medical condition. My doctor's basically informed me that it's not healthy to wear a mask. And it is. There's numerous doctors that are saying it's not healthy to wear a mask, including the research study from 2015 that I talked about on the last show, saying that basically not wearing the mask properly or wearing the mask when you don't need to wear it can actually cause health issues. So I encourage everybody, stand your ground, speak your mind. If you know you're going to a situation, know what to handle it, know what to say when you get in there, because this is very important right now as we see more and more totalitarian rules being put on us, all in the name of safety and protection, when that is the last thing these clowns at the top ever care about with us.
Well, I am all for civil disobedience on this. I don't even know if that, folks, don't take me to task if that's not the proper term or proper phrase for this, but I am all in favor of, you can take your mask and you can, you know, put it where the sun don't shine. That's the way I look at it. Now, if a private business, you know, exercises their right not to allow me to do business there, fine. You know, don't ever, believe me, I'll make sure that everyone knows about it. But yes, I agree. And you know, I am so bothered by this. Austin, I believe that we are on the cusp of something. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure I know what it is. There are many things that could happen over the next 90 days, 100 days. I think it's going to be more between 30 and 45 days, if that. But something is brewing out there that's going to be really, really, really bad. That's my view. Okay, I've got a bad feeling.
I'm right there with you, Doug. I had a conversation with one of my good friends that I work out with, some on the side. We shoot along the side. We were talking about it last night. And I said, right now, everybody's starting to realize that the gig is up again. We saw this a couple months ago. People are seeing what's going on with the testing numbers, the fraudulent, blatantly fraudulent testing, people not even testing and being put down positive. I already listed it all earlier. There's all these different things that are going on, and people are waking up to it. Today, I stopped by the gas station, went inside, grabbed some water because I was out. I was on the way back from the office. I was running around. I was out of my truck. And I went into this gas station, and it was in Auburndale, so there's no mask mandate. And the employees in there didn't have masks on. And one of the girls that I know, she always basically is real nice in there. She's manager. And I asked her, I said, you're not wearing a mask in here. She goes, no, I'm not wearing a mask. So why aren't you wearing a mask? She goes, because it's all BS. She's immaculate. And I said, oh, well said. I said, why do you think it's BS? And she goes, because if it was true and they were really trying to stop the spread of the virus, why would they be fraudulently boosting the numbers to try to make it look worse than it is? And I said, valid point. I agree. You're awake. Congratulations. We're good friends now. And I left. And so I goof off with people like that a lot when I see people, because I like to get people's take on stuff. I like to get their opinion. And so, yeah, there's something going on right now. That's the biggest time to watch out, Doug. You're absolutely right. Because when the populace starts waking up and saying, no, we're not going to do this. You've outworn your welcome. That's when they always pull another card, because now they can't play the same hand anymore because everybody's calling their bluff.
You know, I'm starting to see more and more people respond in kind like this. And folks, be of good cheer, because the more people who say stick it, I'm not going to play your games. I'm not going to, there is no law that, I just don't even want to get into it, but the more we say no, And more people are doing that. More people are starting to understand that this is all just a bunch of BS. I'm encouraged. However, that encouragement also comes with a caution. And that caution is watch out because, as you said, you know, whatever, yes. Whatever the response will be from this, we can't have more people waking up. So there it is. But all right.
No, that's well said with it. And that's why I've told everybody right now, you know, is not the time to be sitting around, not getting in shape, eating McDonald's. There was a meme the other day, and I found it funny because I've seen kind of this almost in person multiple times, where there's this big obese lady in this photo, and she's got a McDonald's bag and a McDonald's cup, and she can't walk because she's so morbidly obese, and she's wearing her face mask, and she's yelling at a girl through her face mask while the girl's not wearing a face mask, and she goes, "You need to be wearing a face mask for my protection," as she's shoveling down GMO fast food and she's so obese she can't even walk. And I find it funny now because I've seen this in a lot of cases. Dad's had multiple incidences now at stores he's gone into where these basically mass Nazis, not clerks, not store reps or managers, actual patrons and customers, while he's sitting there getting something off the shelf or he's reading a label on something, they walk up to him and they go, "Why are you not wearing a mask?" He goes, "Because I have a medical condition, I don't want to wear a mask." They say, "Well, you should still wear a mask anyways." "No, that's going to be a hard no, but thank you for your concern. Well, you're endangering all of us." And he goes, "I'm endangering all of us while you're standing 3 feet away from me screaming at me through your mask because I'm not wearing a mask while I'm trying to stand here peacefully and read a label, not get around or breathe on anybody, and you're over here yelling and accosting me." And she stormed off, ran off, went and got the manager. He looks down the aisle, she's pointing at him. "He's not wearing a mask, blah, 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 blah." You see the manager shrugging. He goes, "Okay, well, that's his choice. We're not going to force him to wear a mask, and we're not going to kick him out of the store." And she got all mad and huffed and puffed and walked off. And Dad just thought it was kind of funny because, you know, this is the ideology that stems all the way back to just even recently in Stasi East Germany, where everybody was going in and being a snitch. They said at the height of it, 1 out of 3 people were basically a communist snitch back then. And when they went in there and they started raiding a lot of this stuff, they found millions upon millions of videos, documents, index cards, files on just about everybody in East Germany because everybody was a snitch on a snitch on a snitch on a snitch, and everybody was snitching on everybody. And that's exactly what they want to try to push. And in my opinion, I think that's been one of the reasons for the face mask and everything that's been going on right now, is they want to try to see how many people they can get to be face Nazis, to go around and basically accost people that are minding their own business because they choose not to wear a mask. So I thought that was interesting.
Face diapers, you know, that's what they are, face diapers.
That's exactly what they are.
and you know what, if my body, my choice, it's a face diaper. And by the way, if you're wearing a mask and I'm not in the mask work, what are you worried about? So, yeah, but yeah, this is bigger. The agenda is bigger. The end game is bigger. And of course, the enforcement of this is very disconcerting. The enforcement is based on air. That's kind of like our money. It's just based on air. So, all right. But keep going. By the way, let me just say this, folks. Understand this. You can get in shape. Go to healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. At the very least, get your nutritional, your ultimate multiple from healthmasters.com at the very, very, very least. If you are smart, and I know you are, get vitamin C, get B, get D3, K2, get everything from healthmasters.com. And while you're there, while you're browsing, you can check out the Ted and Austin Brower Show. HR5 is a coupon code for non-saleable items. And there are a few exclusions, but and also, hey, you know what? I would love for people who are, well, if you're doing more baking, cooking, whatever at home, do yourself a favor. The water distillers at healthmasters.com, tremendous investment. Do yourself a favor. Healthmasters.com, HR5 is the coupon code. Product of the week is, potassium. What was it? Potassium, right? Potassium iodine?
Yes, potassium iodine. It's the molecular iodine. So it's highly absorbable, very bioavailable, very effective iodine. And it's also a good supplement, too. A lot of people that I have found this working with them in helping the body burn body fat more efficiently. What's happened is the majority of people now are deficient in iodine. We have a little bit of iodine they put in salt and nonsense like that. But the problem is the body really needs good molecular iodine on a regular basis, and most foods are very void of this. And so what happens is when the iodine is introduced, not only does it prevent other compounds from being basically absorbed into the thyroid, that's why they say iodine for radiation exposure, but it also helps to stimulate the thyroid of a person that has a sluggish thyroid. And so it can really increase metabolism, increase body fat burning, and also help out with energy. Because there's a lot of people now that I run into, I get asked the same question, you know, I can't lose weight, I've really cut my calories down. Well, the issue you run into with this, and this is just kind of a side note, you have to be careful when you start massively cutting your caloric intake down, because your thyroid will actually down-regulate if you reduce your calories too low for too extended period of time. Because the body goes basically in a starvation mode, and it thinks you're in the desert, you have no food, so it starts down-regulating the thyroid massively. Now, not only can this cause health problems, but this could also cause weight gain and also weight retention. And so I always tell people, when you're starting to get back in the gym maybe, or you're starting to get back eating clean again, don't starve yourself. Don't do that. You want to eat regular meals throughout the day, and that's the key, is eating 5 to 6 small meals throughout the day. Now, you can adjust your overall macro calories as you see fit, depending on your body weight and your goals. That's a whole nother topic for another day. But also make sure you're eating regularly, because I know a lot of people, they get into the mode where they want to lose weight, so they like stop eating. They eat like a granola bar for breakfast, and they eat like, you know, a big dinner, and they're like, oh, I only ate, you know, 900 calories today. I'm like, dude, you weigh 200 pounds. Not only are you way below your baseline where you need to be to maintain muscle tissue, your thyroid's going to downregulate. And then when you eat a big meal at the end of the night, your cortisol's through the roof because you haven't eaten anything. It's been a stressful day more than likely. Now all of a sudden you drop 500, 600, 700, 800 calories in one meal. Your body, in most cases, the average adult can only really process about 300 to 500 calories in a meal. Obviously, it depends on a lot of stuff, the thyroid, everything, body weight, size, but that's about average with it. So when you start going over that 500, 600, 700 calorie range for one meal, in most cases, the body's not going to be able to use all of it for energy, and so it's going to store a lot of it as body fat. Well, that's where the iodine comes in very helpful, because if you're constantly eating multiple meals that are, say, 250, 350 calories multiple times a day, depending on what you need for your body weight, and you're increasing your metabolism through the iodine, your body starts burning body fat rapidly because it's getting multiple meals throughout the day. Your body goes, man, I got an influx of meals. I can eat as much food as I want. I got a bunch of iodine. I'm feeling good. My metabolism's through the roof. I'm going to shed off some of this body fat because, quite frankly, I don't need it, and I'm going to use it for some fuel. So that's how you really need to use that. And it really helps out with overall health as well. So I encourage everybody, if you're starting to get back in shape, throw the iodine in there, even just one a day, one every other day, depending on how you feel. You will notice if you start using large amounts of it, which I've experimented before back when I was bodybuilding with it. If you start taking like 2 and 3 of those a day, which I don't recommend, you'll get very, very hot. You'll also get night sweats because the thyroid gets so stimulated, you will burn body fat unbelievably fast. But again, I don't recommend doing that unless you're doing regular blood work to see your thyroid levels and your TSH and everything else. But again, that shows you with that formula how effective and good it really is, because you will feel it generally just within a couple of days of starting to take that product right now.
You know, I started taking that. This is July, so May be May, and I had to go just a regular checkup at the end of last month, and I had lost about four pounds. And the other thing I did differently was begin taking that. I don't know. Look, I'm not saying that was the reason. I'm just saying now that you mentioned it, I was down 4 pounds. And I could lose 4. I mean, believe me, I need to lose more than that. But, but you know, I find it very interesting that that's what happens. I mean, so I'm just saying.
No, it is definitely effective. Like I said, especially if you use it in conjunction with a really clean diet and exercising and training, because as I've encouraged everybody right now, I mean, your health is one of the most valuable assets we have. And yep. If the time comes in the near future where we actually have to make a stand for something, we say, no, this is our line in the sand, You know, and I've said it many times, it's always a pet peeve of mine when I run into patriots and they're really staunch on their stand. They're, oh, yeah, Second Amendment this. And, you know, you go hang out with them and they're eating junk food and they're overweight and they can barely walk up two flights of stairs. And I'm like, what are you going to happen when you throw on a plate carrier and a full loadout and strap an AR on and basically, you know, start walking around? If you got to get in direct engagements, how in the world are you even going to function without having a heart attack, man? And so it's just, you know, you really got to look at it. So when people that actually walk the walk, they walk the walk. And you know when you train with them or you hang out with them, you know if they're about it or not. So I encourage everybody, if you're not at that point, get in good shape. Even if you don't plan on getting in some type of altercation, I promise you, you probably will get in one in the near future because of what's going on. Nobody generally plans for an altercation. I mean, I have lately because of the face mask thing, so I'm generally well prepared for it. But in most cases, you don't go into situations wanting or waiting to get into altercation. So when you do, it usually catches you off guard. And at that point in time, you really need to be ready from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint, on what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it. And also post-confrontation. A lot of times people don't think about that. But, you know, you also have to deal with the ramifications if you have a very significant confrontation, how you're going to act and how you're going to feel afterwards, and making sure that, you know, your body can handle and cope with the stress and you're not going to be putting external strain on your cardiovascular system and so forth. If you basically are out of shape and overweight, it's going to cause problems with you on that.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, we need to be healthy right now. I don't think there's been, and that's not a hollow, that's not to sell anything, that's not a hollow point. Hollow points, hey, remind me, put that on my list. I'm telling you right now, folks, you need to be concentrating on your lifestyle. Decisions you make today will have consequences tomorrow. Believe me, the decisions I made during my life, you know, the cold pizza, chicken wings, pizza. It's a big problem. I mean, it causes problems later on in life. Before I met, Ted and Austin, look, I really didn't take supplements all that much. Now it's like all the time and I feel much better for it. You talk about mental clarity. You should see me, you know, you think I'm not clear, huh? Yellow Thursday toaster items. Never mind. That's a Joe Biden joke. But all right, healthmasters.com. That's what I'm trying to say. Healthmasters.com. And do yourself a favor. Get yourself in shape. And that's the place I would go all of the time. Best products on the market. Healthmasters.com. And there's the Brower family right there. Look at the gut on that. Guy, yeah, okay.
I've let myself go, Doug. And another thing, too, I was going to add, and if people are wanting to be sharper, especially out in public, if you're wanting to have a little bit faster mental acuity, maybe a little bit more aggressive in a situation, the attention factor is a formula that we put together about a year and a half, 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
Great formula. I love it. I've used it regularly. I got a lot of guys that fight in MMA that love it. And it's not something that I recommend taking every day, all day, just because, you know, it will start making you tired after a while, just like anything does. But it's not caffeine-based. It's got theacrine in it, which is actually an alkali derivative of the caffeine molecule. So it doesn't cause quite as much, actually really at all, any of the jitters. Because I know some people I talk to, they're like, hey, I can't use caffeine. You know, it causes me jitters, heart palpitations. The attention factor is pretty good about not doing that. Very rarely do I ever get a negative response in this formula. But one thing it does a lot is the mental stimulation and really making you sharper, clear, better mental acuity. You remember things faster. Somebody asks you a question or you got to rebuttal something, you're right on point with it. And of course, if you need to get in a situation where you have to be in a physical altercation, it definitely gives you the upper hand, in my opinion. This is definitely a formula that I love. I got a lot of friends that take it, a lot of military guys that take it, and it's something that I highly recommend. It's not on sale right now, but I may put it up for vote for product of the week next week if everybody wants to vote on it and it wins. We may do a big sale on it because that product right now I think is crucial with everything that's going on, Doug.
I've noticed that especially when I'm writing, that makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah.
And like you said, I wouldn't take it every day, you know, but however, I would take it, most days. I'll just leave it there. So healthmasters.com. And yeah, vote for that. Folks, do me a favor. Vote for that product to be product of the week, attention factor. I appreciate that. We only have about 5 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly time flies. Austin, wherever you want to go, feel free. Take us wherever you want to go.
They always say time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
So I just want to give everybody, right now, a word of encouragement that's going on. You know, we're all seeing what's happening. All the patriot groups are basically in this. A lot of us are awake. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. He knew what was going to happen before he even created the earth. He knew how this stuff was going to unfold. And so we have to make sure that we maintain our trust in him and at the same time stay prepared. I know people that I've known for years that I thought were pretty, reasonable people, that they're completely losing their mind right now almost. I mean, bunkering down in their house, don't want to go outside, don't want to go anywhere. They're afraid basically the entire world's about to fall apart as far as from a virus. And my issue with that is, don't be frivolous and negligent. Don't be going around, you see somebody coughing, don't try to walk past them and inhale their air. Obviously, use wisdom, wash your hands. If you see somebody be sick or they appear sick, keep your distance from them. But that's stuff that you should have been doing ever before this. This isn't it's not a new concept. It's like saying you should wash your hands after you use the bathroom. I mean, I told you guys before when this first started happening, people were like, yeah, when I get done like in a public bathroom, I grab a paper towel and I grab the handle now before I walk out. And I'm like, as opposed to what? Not grabbing a paper towel and grabbing the handle that you just washed your hands from and you're now contaminating your hand again. Why did it take a virus for you to start being, proper sanitation guidelines when you leave a public bathroom? So people now, I think, have started woken to this, and now people are starting to wake up to the nutritional aspect. And that's why the vitamin C is still an ongoing battle to keep large amount of it in stock, because it's being bought up all over the country. And they're using it also too to make, basically the vitamin C intravenous. The doctors that are awake and smart are using this all over the country. I mean, people are using this. People are waking up to it. And that's one of the other issues too, why I think they can't get the death numbers that they want. So they're continually trying to fudge numbers. I mean, down here in Florida, allegedly, we've had like 5,300 deaths in Florida from COVID in the last 5 months now. And then that's acquiring and adding all the numbers, including the ones that have died on motorcycles, car accidents, all these other ones they add in there. And so we have an average population of 22 million people in the state of Florida. We have an average death of 180 to 200,000 deaths per year, every year in the state of Florida from various different causes. So now you're trying to tell me that 5,000 deaths in 5 to 6 months that have been heavily manipulated, the real death count actually from the virus, my personal opinion, is probably less than 1,000 in the state of Florida. People actually died from the virus and no other health underlying effects. And I'd be very generous on my number with that. Very generous. I have found hardly anybody I have actually been able to talk to or research or pull up death documents or certificates that somebody completely died from COVID with no health issues, no external factors whatsoever. And so again, that's what I want everybody to remember. If it was really this significant of a pandemic, if this was really this deadly, why would they have to be manipulating and fraudulently fudging the numbers to try to get the numbers that they want right now? Use your head. Use your big brain that God gave us. He gave us an incredible brain. He gave us nutrients. He gave us ideas. He gave us the knowledge to be able to do what we need to do. Let's use it. Because, I didn't remember ever reading in the Bible where God told the disciples, you need to put a mask over your face when we go here. These people are sick. I don't remember that at all, because Jesus knew what the outcome was of a lot of stuff. They're using this as a tool to try to make sure the populace is continually put in a submissive state and they can add next step onto next step onto next step. And as I've already said, the vaccine will be next, and it is coming. And there's a reason why the DOD just put a $2 billion bid to Pfizer for 100 million vaccines, with the option for another 500 million vaccines once it's approved for $10 billion.
Hey, Bill Gates is saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Bill Gates is saying multiple doses will be needed of the vaccine to prepare. Yeah. All right, we're out of time, my friend. God bless you. Say hello to your father. My best to your family.
Yes.
And we'll be talking soon. Folks, that'll do it for me. I got to tell you right now, I'm going to miss coming on here for the next 10 days. My request for all of you is just please pray for our team. Pray for our team. Pray for the successes, little successes, big successes, but successes nonetheless. That's all we ask is for your prayers. And I will be attempting to check in. At least I hope to be able to check in with a video report at HagmanReportLive.com. I would hope on a daily basis. I really want to make that happen. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great weekend in the next 10 days. Please pray for us. I'll be praying for every one of you. Thank you. Good night.